Good morning and welcome to Woman's Hour. And yes, it does feel very strange to be saying that for the last time after 33 years, although I am much cheered by a gift from Mary Berry. It's a chocolate cake which is sitting in front of me waiting to be shared with the team. And we will wait till the end of the programme, I promise you. Later in this morning's programme, we'll look back at some of the amazing people I've encountered in this studio since September 1987, ranging from Margaret Thatcher through Betty Davis, Hillary Clinton and Joan Baez. But we begin with four women who are my contemporaries, with whom I've often shared the three steps forward and two steps back of the moves towards equality between the sexes. They're the Labour MP for Camberwell and Peckham and mother of the house, Harriet Harman, Baroness Helena Kennedy, QC, the poet and novelist Jackie Kay, who's Scotland's national poet, the Macca, and Jude Kelly, the founder and director of the WOW Foundation. And I am so sorry we can't have you all in the studio to share the Mary Berry cake, but of course we are all down the line. But Jude, let's start with you. You know, we want to be positive and we want to feel empowered on a morning like this. But this pandemic, how much of a two steps back for women do you see in the pandemic experience?
OK, well, there's no doubt about it that economically it's a big step back.
Now, this next bit is not, I assure you, about me showing off, but I have encountered so many extraordinary men and women during what is almost half my lifetime, some of whom were a delight to interview, others, I have to say, rather less so. My producers have put together a collection of what they considered my best bits. So here I go, hanky at the ready, beginning with the introduction to an end-of-year review of 1987.
Hello. We can't look back at 1987 without mentioning certain women and events. The general election took Margaret Thatcher into her third term, and she looks like entering the record books as the Prime Minister with the longest uninterrupted period at number 10 this century.
I'm Sally Feldman, and I joined the BBC as a producer on Woman's Hour. Then I became joint editor. It's hard to forget the Margaret Thatcher interviews.
Margaret Thatcher always terrified me.
It's not separate men and women, and I get really rather fed up of this.
Jenny used to be sick, physically sick. She was so nervous, but always very well briefed.
And if you're sure of your talents and abilities, you don't expect to be treated differently at work because you're a woman. What most able women I know, women who climb to the top, whether it be in broadcasting, whether it be in business, whether it be as a woman editor, they've got there through merit, and that is their strength and their ability. But don't try to give the impression we need special treatment. We don't. We're pretty independent people. And if there is a difference, let me say this, it's often women who are left to cope, and that's what makes us very practical and very able.
There was one occasion after she had been deposed where she came into the studio rather than me having to go to Downing Street, which is what we usually did. And I had a question that I wanted to ask her about how her gender constantly being referred to had affected her.
You did also have people like François Mitterrand wax lyrical about your, I think he called them Marilyn Monroe lips, and Alan Clarke, who I know is a great friend of yours, about your ankles when he was sitting behind you in the House of Commons. He mentions it in his diaries. Did you play on that? Did you flirt if you had to?
I didn't even know they had made these comments. How should I?
And she just sat there opposite me, looking at me as if I was completely off my head. What on earth was I talking about? That nightmare moment where an interviewer has to rapidly get on to the next question because the interviewee is just not responding. And that baffled me for a long time until I realised much later that Bernard, her wonderful press secretary, tough old Yorkshireman, had probably never put that kind of story in front of her. So when I told her about it, it was the first time she'd heard it.
The experience of being interviewed by Jenny is quite something else because you get her warm voice and her penetrating gaze. She almost hypnotised people into replying to her. She would ask, you know, Edwina Curry when she had a last smear test, for example. Or she'd ask Gordon Brown whether he thought it was okay to be in charge of his wife's tax returns. She just didn't have any fear at all about asking people things. And they always found themselves replying.
I called the first debate on women's health ever in the House of Commons.
I'm not disputing
we
any
did
of that,
all that.
But what I'm
That's
what,
the
what I'm disputing
That's
is how supportive to women you can call yourself when you have put Norma Major's private life into the public sphere as you have, and frankly, she must be terribly embarrassed and humiliated.
I think that's an issue that she needs to take up with her husband. And he did not end the affair. I did.
Hillary Clinton was late. Not her fault. Somebody underestimating London traffic. She was supposed to be the first item in the programme. So instead, we very luckily had Shirley Williams, who was also in the running order, who's always been an absolute delight to interview.
Shirley, what was your reaction when you heard your mother was to be honoured in this way?
Oh, I was bowled over. I got this letter
and
from...
And then somebody said in my headphones, she's here, Clinton's here. And in she came. I thanked Shirley and her friend.
Baroness Williams, Shirley Williams and Helga Rubinstein.
And they were just getting up. And Hillary came and sat next to me, you know, at the time, the most famous woman in the world. And as I was introducing her, she suddenly started waggling a handbag across the desk in front of me, which I thought was very strange. And I said, and this was all live.
And she's just passed Shirley Williams' handbag over the table so that she doesn't leave it behind. Thank you very much, Hillary Rodham Clinton. Welcome to Woman's Hour.
And suddenly this immensely powerful, frightening woman was no longer powerful or frightening. She was just one of us. She'd sat down and thought, oh, my goodness, that woman's left her handbag behind. She can't go without it. And then she gave me a wonderful, wonderful interview. I was really impressed by her. Even when I asked her how she had coped with a man who had humiliated her consistently throughout their marriage.
What is it about Bill that has enabled you to forgive his infidelity?
Forgiveness is a choice, and I fully respect those who don't make that choice for whatever reason in their personal or their professional lives. But for me, it was absolutely the right choice.
And she said, you know, Bill and I met when we were students. We began a conversation.
And I like to say we started a conversation there in law school that we have never stopped.
It kind of indicated that, yeah, the sex had been embarrassing and hurtful and she had worked very hard to forgive him. But actually, it was their intellectual relationship that mattered most.
The work is the one thing you can rely upon, not human beings always, but the work you can rely upon.
Within only weeks of my joining the programme, I was sent to interview Bette Davis, who I had admired for such a long time. I was absolutely frightened to death because she had a fearsome reputation. I went off to this very posh hotel in the centre of London, walked into a suite where this tiny woman with impeccable red fingernails, beautifully dressed, perfectly made up. She was 80, I think, at the time. It wasn't long before she died. I always have read any book written by the person I'm about to interview. Hers was an autobiography in which she had mentioned serving soldiers at a feeding centre during the war. And I thought, oh, that's a good way in.
I know that one of the things that you're particularly proud of in your career is the Hollywood canteen. Tell me a little bit about that. What did you actually do there?
Oh, we had a place where the armed forces could come and meet famous people.
You know, it's not about being a movie star. It's about something that was obviously very personal to her. And I managed to win her over very, very quickly by asking her about that. And then, of course, she was charming and we talked about the career.
Sex is responsible for so many things in our lives. And it's a very important thing, once more. But I've always thought it was a great joke on human beings.
And yet this was the woman who wanted to make love on a bed of gardenias.
Well, that's a perfect proof of what I'm saying.
And at the very end, I said,
I have always wanted to hear you utter that line in real life that Margot Channing says as she comes down the stairs. Will you do it for me?
Yes. Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
She actually said the line for me. That was amazing.
The wonderful thing about Jenny is that she was a forensic journalist and interviewer, very meticulous about facts, woe betide any producer who got a fact wrong. But at the same time, Jenny was a lateral thinker in so many ways, imaginative and really interested in ideas, interested in other people.
So I was sitting at the dressing table at the end of the day, gathering my stuff together, and he walked into my dressing room, and he saw me sitting at the table, came in to say goodnight, and he was very kind of shy, you know. The interesting thing about Bogey, he was never an aggressive male. And I said, well, goodbye, I'll see you tomorrow, you know. And he lifted my head up, and he bent over, and he kissed me goodnight. Well, that was it. Thank you.
She had a marvellous knack of putting any person in that studio at ease.
You were always known as a great giggler, weren't you?
And what made
somebody who would corpse at the drop of a hat. Yes. Do you still do it?
Yes. Yes, but I'm slightly better at it. We had a wonderful time during Cranford when Eileen Atkins and I came out of a cottage and Lisa was coming along as Mary Smith in the carriage, and Eileen has to say, Miss Mary Smith, welcome to Cranford. And we rehearsed it, and they said, OK, action. We came out of the cottage, and Eileen said, Miss Mary Smith, welcome to Ambridge. So that was the collapse of us all.
I'm Jill Burridge, and I was editor of Woman's Hour from 2002 until the end of 2011. I remember with Dame Judi Dench, for instance, Jenny just won her over by very quietly and gently, because it is a matter of tone as well, and that's the other thing Jenny gets right, the tone of an interview, just to be quiet with somebody.
But without Michael, where's the bedrock of your confidence now?
I don't know.
You find it from somewhere.
Yes, I find it from... Well, I find it from my daughter, and I find it from the people I work with.
You know, loss is something that we never get over. When people say time heals all wounds, it doesn't. It doesn't heal. Just we learn when those wounds open again to take a deep breath, because they will close for a while and they'll suddenly open. Life is a roller coaster ride. We just ride it out.
Jesus died for somebody's sins, but not mine.
But how hard is it? I mean, do you have to get up every morning and sit
down? You have to get up every morning. Otherwise you die, I find, in the end. Any more questions?
Yes, before I have a breakdown here... No, before I have
a banana
breakdown,
over here for Jenny,
this is something else I was going to ask you, actually. Do you, because of all this hard work, ever break down like your Juliet Bravo character?
Can you remember what she said?
She goes, basically,
I'm only a woman and I can't cope with the strain, which is not something that I would ever say about myself. Well, I wouldn't tell you, you see, because I've got this relentlessly balmy image to keep up. And if I said that I was sobbing into my mules of a morning, then it wouldn't help me in the comedy world, you see. So I'm just going to say, no, I'm relentlessly cheerful all day long, every day.
At the end of 2006, I was in the office one evening and I had a phone call from Jenny to tell me that she had been diagnosed with breast cancer. Right from the start, Jenny was just adamant that she wanted to be open with the Woman's Hour audience about her diagnosis.
And I said, you know, we've broadcast so often about women's health. We know so many of the audience have had breast cancer. I cannot just disappear for a month or two, I didn't know how long it was going to be, without saying, look, you know, we were supposed to just inform you about it, not actually have it ourselves. Now, before I say goodbye for the holidays, there's something I need to say about me. I shan't be around for a while in the new year because I've just been diagnosed with breast cancer. I'll be having treatment in the coming weeks. The prognosis, by the way, is excellent, and I plan to be back as soon as I feel up to it. Do have a lovely Christmas, and I, like you, hope 2007 will be a happy new year. Until then, bye-bye. I think that was a really important indicator of how close the relationship with Woman's Hour and the Woman's Hour audience is.
People would write in and say, now I know I'm not alone. And it was Jenny who did that. And that was one of her great legacies, I think.
Oh, how's that?
Oh, that is really good.
So Jenny, as you may have gathered if you're a regular listener to the programme, really loves food items. She doesn't like eating spicy stuff live on air, I have to say, in case it affects her voice.
It's got raisins in it.
I think we auctioned the Woman's Hour cooker because it was so unpredictable.
Now, okay, look. It is now, it bubbles, it bubbleth.
It heated up too much or it didn't heat up at all.
I'm going to have to move it back because it's going to be too hot.
The other tricky point of food items is the timing. If the cook concerned wasn't getting there quickly enough, Jenny would try and chivvy things on.
All right, now for listen. I'm going to put the salmon in, don't...
Oh, right, don't mush me. Sorry, I'm not... Gosh, you're bossy. I thought I was the bossy one.
And Mary Berry always used to bring a cake for the Woman's Hour team because she knew we had a weakness for sweet things, rather like Jenny does.
And underneath that's a layer of apricot jam. Mm. So it should be good, shouldn't it?
Mary, it's absolutely gorgeous. I do hope it's not a one-way ticket for the cardiac unit.
And do you believe you could actually seduce a young man with a lemon meringue pie?
With lemon meringue pie, with the steak and kidney pie, with the eggs done very, very well. Oh, yeah, so you just have to be all that. I mean, catch him at the right time.
Maya Angelou was, I think, probably the most charming woman I've ever met. She was complete and utter delight. Toni Morrison, also amazing. One of the cleverest women I've ever, ever come across. Wonderful, wonderful novelist. But I honestly think the peak of my career has been Joan Baez.
Well, I'll be damned. Here comes your ghost again.
I mean, I was her greatest fan, together with my friend Linda Mead. We liked to think in our teens that we actually were Joan Baez. We knew her entire songbook. So suddenly she was coming in to talk about her autobiography and how much she'd loved Bob Dylan and how much we had also loved Bob Dylan. It didn't last for very long. 2 years, the relationship.
For me, it was long. Yeah, no, for me, it was probably lengthy. You know, it was wonderful.
Was it wonderful?
A lot of it was wonderful, yeah. That time, those songs, us being sort of thrust together by that circumstance and having fun with it.
She was charming, she was funny. And my absolute favourite song of hers is Diamonds and Rust, which looks back on her long affair with Bob Dylan. And I told her that was my favourite. She sat here in this studio with her guitar, and for my benefit, she actually sang Diamonds and Rust. And I cried to myself. Nobody would have known, but I was sobbing inside because she was so wonderful.
Now you're telling me you're not nostalgic. Well, give me another word for it. You are so good with words.
If you do a programme like Woman's Hour, you have to consistently remind yourself that women are a vast range. There are many, many, many different stereotypes that fit our gender. So there is no one stereotypical woman. But our sex, we share.
Well, I'll take the diamonds.
And that is that. And no one put it better in 1971, long before my life on Woman's Hour, than Helen Reddy, whose death we heard of this week. So it's goodbye from me. Thank you all for listening and being such a vital part of the Woman's Hour family. And thanks also to the three men in my family who've given endless support, David, Ed and Charlie, born in 1987. Take it away, Helen.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore. And
I am woman,
I am invincible.
Well, that's all
from me as I leave Woman's Hour, I really want to thank you for your support over what's been really rather a long time. Thank you for all your contributions to the programme. Your emails I won't read this time. The team said they'd better do it for me. So from me, bye-bye.
I just heard that Jenny Murray is leaving Woman's Hour, and quite soon. I'd like to thank her for her company over many years through lots of events in my life and hers. My children have grown up, I returned to work, my son emigrated to Canada, my husband died after 40 years of marriage, I met a wonderful man and married again, and just this year I became a grandmother. And Jenny has been a constant companion through all this. I want to thank Jenny for all this and wish her the very best in her future life. I feel I'm going to miss a friend.
It has been a great pleasure listening to Jenny Murray this week, knowing that she will be moving on soon. She is the consummate journalist and interviewer. I remember her first Woman's Hour and look forward to hearing her again soon on an airwave I can capture. The programme will not be the same without her.
Just heard Jenny is leaving Woman's Hour. Sorry to hear this news, as Jenny is a wonderful presenter, conducting interviews with empathy, knowledge and understanding, with a gentle yet probing style, drawing out much that others might not discover. As a man, I find the programme a wonderful mix of entertainment, education and insight into a myriad of subject matter that often impacts everyone, not just women, and Jenny will be missed. Thanks, Jenny, for your dedication and professionalism, and best wishes for whatever you go on to do, and I'm sure you are not ready to stop.
Gutted to hear Jenny Murray is leaving in October. I've been an avid listener for many years and wrongly assumed she'd be on Woman's Hour forever. I will miss your voice, Jenny, but wish you every success in your next ventures. You are my role model.